Turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 5. I spoke from this verse yesterday. I felt impressed to return to this verse and talk some more. It reads like this: Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly, and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. Jesus gave this pastor an ultimatum. It was either repent or else. Else I'm going to come to you quickly, and I will remove your candlestick out of his place. Jesus is telling this pastor that if you don't repent, you're going to lose your church. When a pastor loses their church, it's a great loss. Some don't know what to do. Some are ashamed that they have gotten themselves into such a place. They feel that the shame and the tribulation is more than they can stand. Many get depressed. Some even become suicidal. In Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, we find Moses giving the children of Israel some good advice. He said, When you are in tribulations, and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days, if you will turn to the Lord your God, and shall be obedient to his voice, he will not forsake you, neither destroy you. These are words of encouragement to those that he was speaking to, and to those of us today, many generations removed from the one that Moses spoke to, yet today it is still encouraging people around the world. When we are having tribulations and all these things begin to come upon us, if we will turn to God and obey his voice, he will not forsake us. In my previous lesson, I mentioned that there are many great pastors and church members who have had many tribulations, and all things, it appear, came upon them, and they began to wonder, how in the world will I get out of this? It may seem that there's no way to solve your problems, and that suicide is the only way to end the pain, but you can take steps that will help you begin to enjoy your life again. If you're feeling overwhelmed by thoughts of not wanting to live, you're not the only one that's had those thoughts. Moses felt that way at one time. Job felt that way. Elisha, he wanted to die. Jonah wanted to die. In the case of Moses, it happened when the congregation that he was pastoring made demands on him that he was not able to do. Their demands become greater than his ability to perform. Here's what he says: The people wept for me to give them flesh to eat. And what did Moses do? Moses went to God, and he told God, I am not able to bear all of this people alone. It's too heavy for me. If you expect me to do this, kill me. If I have found favor in your sight, let me not see my wretchedness. The Lord did respond. He said, Moses, get together 70 men of the elders of Israel. Bring them down to the tabernacle, and I'll come down and talk with you there. I'll take up the spirit which is upon you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you bear it not yourself alone. Did you hear this? God always has people that can help you bear your burdens. The Bible tells us that we ought to bear one another's burden. You may feel embarrassed to seek help. It may be hard to talk about your feelings, and your friends and your family may not fully understand why you feel the way you do, but reach out anyway. Make sure the people who care about you know what's going on and that you need them. That's what Moses did. He reached out to God. God said, reach out to other men. Reach out to 70 men and pull them together, and we'll talk about this problem you have. These men are willing to help you. All they need to know is that you need them. Isn't that the case in many of our lives? We don't think that people would want to help us, but most times they're just waiting for us to tell them we need them. And then there was Job. You remember his story. He was the richest man in the East, had much wealth, had 10 children and a wife. But in one day, he lost all of his wealth. He lost his 10 children. And a few days later, was come down with sores from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He was in agony, and to make things worse, during this time of troubles and trials, his wife said to him, "Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." He says, "Wife, you speak like a foolish woman." And I think that he may have said, "Why should I curse God and die when I can bless God and live?" We do know later on, the Bible says that he cursed the day that he was born. And he says, "If my grief and my calamities was laid in a balance together, it would be heavier than the sand of the sea." He said, "My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome to me, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than life." He said, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please the Lord to destroy me, that he would cut me off." At the end of Job's story, Job confesses this, "I know that you can do everything and that nothing can be withheld from you." And the Bible tells us that at the end of Job's trials and afflictions, the Lord turned the captivity of Job, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had in the beginning. What Job was going through was temporary. How many people have taken their lives in the fog of temporary circumstances? How many pastors have resigned their church during their Monday morning depression when things did not go well the previous day? I am convinced that there are times when circumstances contradict purpose. God has a purpose for my life, for your life. Yet there are times when everything seems to fly in the face of all that God has designed for us. But at the end, we must cling to the fact that circumstances are temporary. We must hold fast to our faith during these times and base all our decisions upon the Word of God and the peace that comes from leaning on Him. So I tell you today, if you're feeling overwhelmed by thoughts of not wanting to live, If you're having urges to attempt suicide, get help now. You may feel embarrassed to seek help. Reach out anyway. Make sure the people who love you know what you're going through and are there when you need them. Members of your own family, members of your own congregation that love you and fellowship with you each week, reach out to them. You can call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255 anytime, night or day. If you are seeking biblical advice on your problem, get in touch with Tri-Cities Recovery, a nonprofit recovery program entitled Living Free. They have people that is qualified to give you a biblical view on your problem. Reach out to Mark Mitchell at tricitiesrecovery.com or get in touch with a local pastor.